Hello, Kate Jones here, and this is the Love to Teach podcast. I am a history teacher, a middle leader, author, blogger, and now I am entering into the world of educational podcasts. Hello, and welcome to the fourth episode of the Love to Teach podcast. And today I will be talking about effective study strategies and revision routines. And this will be based on the fact that this morning I delivered an assembly to Year 11 students on this exact topic. So I'll share what my assembly involved and the main messages behind that. I'll also be answering questions that teachers have sent to me from across different social media platforms, and this will become a regular feature. So if you do have any questions or any topics that you'd like me to discuss, then please do get in touch, and I'll share how you can do that later in this episode. I also wanted to add that this podcast is now in partnership with TM Icons. Now, this is not a paid sponsorship or partnership. Basically, TM Icons are a group of teachers who organise subject-specific Teach Me events for teachers. And I was involved in the original TM Icons event, which was Teach Me History Icons in 2015. I was a co-host, a co-organiser, a presenter, and now I've moved to the Middle East. I'm not as involved, but I'm really glad that through this partnership that we can support each other. So what that basically means is if there's any TM Icons events that are happening, then I will share this with you in the podcast and I will keep you updated. Also, and finally, I recorded a segment for this podcast in my apartment, and when I listened back to it, I really didn't like the echo and the sound quality was really poor. So I'm actually recording this podcast today from the history office in my school, and it's the end of the day, so colleagues may walk past, but future episodes, I'm not sure, they may all be recorded in school. That's very appropriate, as it's the Love to Teach podcast. Or I may be recording from a different location, so I'll keep you updated. And if anyone's got any advice in regards to finding a good location to record a podcast, because obviously it can be quite tricky with lots of background noise or the echo, as I mentioned. So any feedback or advice, I'd really appreciate that. So first thing this morning, I delivered an assembly to Year 11 students, and I'm also still quite new to the school. This is my third week at the British School Al Kubayra, so I was a little bit nervous actually, because there was lots of students in the audience that I don't know yet, but I'm really glad that I had the opportunity to speak to this year group. And how this came about was because I contacted the head of Year 10 and 11. I'm also a Year 10 tutor, so I work really closely with Nicola and Julian. They are great, the Key Stage 4 team. And I sent them some revision materials that I had created previously in my old school, which was an infographic, a booklet, and I'd also delivered presentations to students in my old school from Key Stage 3 to Key Stage 5. So when I sent these resources, Julian, the head of Year 11, actually said, you know, would you be willing to deliver an assembly on this? I said, absolutely. And we both agreed the sooner the better. And that's how I started off my presentation, with the question, why now? Why are we having a revision-themed assembly in September? Why not in May? And I'm sure if you're a teacher, you'll know why. But I thought it was really important to just explain that. Because in order for the revision techniques to become a habit or a routine, you need time to embed these strategies. And actually, to give this assembly just as students go on their study leave would be too late. Strategies such as retrieval practice, space practice, interleaving, these are things that students need to know now. So it wasn't with the intention to stress them out and get them thinking about exams and panicking, but actually the exact opposite. To have the assembly now so that when they do leave for their exams in the study period, that students feel more confident and calmer and comfortable and ready because they're equipped with this knowledge of how to learn, which is so, so important. Then I explained the difference between techniques that could be described as effective or least effective. So basically, and this was based on the work of Professor John Dunlosky. If you're not familiar with his work, then please do check it out. It's a really good research summary, and it's called Strengthening the Student Toolbox: Study Strategies to Boost Learning. If you Google it, you can just download the PDF. It won't take long to read. I've shared it with colleagues, I've shared it with students. It's brilliant. It's a really easy, simple read, but it's very powerful. So that's what I based my presentation around. And I explained why some of the more popular strategies, such as highlighting and rereading, are not as effective as other strategies, such as retrieval practice and space practice. Now, if you're ahead of year, I think this would be a great idea to deliver an assembly on. I'll also be delivering a presentation to parents next month, which will go into more depth and detail than the assembly, and students, of course, are very welcome to attend. And it's just about equipping them with this knowledge and some ideas and resources of things that they can do across their subjects. Now, when it came to highlighting, I wasn't completely dismissive of highlighting. I know highlighting is very controversial. Some people love it as a strategy, others absolutely hate it. Alex Quigley's blogged a lot about highlighting on The Confident Teacher, that's his website, and he's got a blog post entitled Why I Hate Highlighting, so that's an interesting read, and Alex Quigley's an absolutely great writer. But I showed them an example of students highlighting all of their work, which obviously defeats the purpose of highlighting. I made the comparison with an actor. And even though learning isn't about memorizing like lines as an actor would, I just made the point that when an actor has to learn his lines, the first thing that they might do is highlight the lines. But that doesn't mean that they've learnt the lines just because they've highlighted them. The important bit is, what are they going to do with that highlighted information? Okay, the highlighted lines just shows the actor what they need to learn. And then they'll read the lines, and then they'll test themselves, and they'll keep testing themselves until they know that they've mastered their lines, because then they can recall them with ease. I also talked about rereading and the issue with rereading, that it provides this false sense of confidence that students will feel really familiar with the content because they've read text over and over again. But actually, that's not as effective as a strategy such as retrieval practice. So students might feel they've mastered content because they've read it over and over, but unless they're testing themselves, they don't actually know for sure. And I explained briefly what retrieval practice is, and I explained how teachers will use retrieval practice in the lessons, whether they're familiar with the term or not, whether they know it's retrieval practice. But when a teacher's using a quiz or a starter activity that involves questioning, it's retrieval practice if you're not using your notes and it's low stakes. And then I also gave examples, and I gave some specific resources with the revision clock. If you haven't seen that, there's a free template if you Google revision clock, and a revision clock can be used for retrieval practice. It can also be used with notes. It depends what stage of the learning process you're at. But basically, a revision clock breaks down a topic into 12 manageable chunks with the aim to spend 5 minutes on each topic. And then I shared an example, I tweeted this out recently, where a student wrote in blue pen everything that they could recall from memory about each of the topics. And then in the red pen, it shows the areas where they struggle to recall information. It basically identified the gaps in their knowledge, which is really useful in regards to informing their future planning and revision. It's highlighted what they know and what they don't know yet, which you don't get from rereading and highlighting. I also then spoke about flashcards, and I shared some anecdotes about one particular student I taught years ago who spent hours and hours creating flashcards, and they were really beautifully presented, filled with detail, but all the information was literally copied from a textbook and they were just rereading the flashcards over and over again. Whereas actually, what would have been a better use of time would be to have questions on one side, answers on the other. Then students can self-test, or this is where parents can get involved, or they can do this with their peers. So I set a homework this week for Year 11 to create 3 flashcards based on the content we've studied in history with questions and answers. And I've told them this won't be the homework every week, but I'm hoping that they carry on with this. And by doing this, by creating these flashcards, then by the time they come to revise for the study period, they will have created a bank of flashcards for the different topics. Otherwise, if they want to use flashcards, they could be in a situation in May where they've got lots of subjects and lots of units within those subjects. And to create flashcards for all of those could be a serious workload issue and appear really overwhelming. So the key message of my presentation was to really start early. We're having this assembly in September. These are revision strategies that you can use now. Here are some techniques that you can be embracing, and then you'll be really grateful by the time that your exams approach. I also then shared, I spoke about space practice before I get to my infographic, and I just explained the concept. And from this, I referred to a quote from the Learning Scientists website. So if you're not familiar with the Learning Scientists, they're on Twitter at 8th Sat Test, and you can visit their website, learningscientists.org. And they basically say this: start planning early for exams and set aside a little bit of time every day. 5 hours spread out over 2 weeks is better than the same 5 hours all at once. This is space practice. And I, as a student, did not use this strategy. I would have days where I'd say, right, I'm going to focus on history today and English tomorrow. And I would really chunk it all together and I'd have crammed practice. Okay, or, well, cramming doesn't always necessarily mean just before the exam, but or mass practice. Instead of distributing it, instead of spreading that out. And I gave them this advice to consider when they're creating a revision timetable, how they can space out their subjects. Then I created an infographic to share with students, and it basically just said that yes, effective strategies are really important, but there's other things that are needed for you to do well in your exams. And that includes effort from the students, because students do have to accept and take responsibility for their own learning. We as teachers, we are held to account, we are responsible, we do go above and beyond, that's what I said today, but there's only so much that we can do. I then also talked about having a good support network around them. As I've mentioned, the Key Stage 4 team are amazing. We've got a wonderful counsellor called Priya. She's absolutely fabulous and she's well known in the school. So there's that support there. There's tutors, there's parents, there's friends. You know, students need to be aware of this support network and actually not be afraid to ask for help or support when they need it. And then I touched upon attendance. And this is something that my school, lots of other schools have been focusing on, you know, the importance of attendance and how low attendance can obviously have a negative impact on results and lead to students underperforming at times. I then shared a template for a revision guide I've made, and that is free on the TES. So if you're on the TES, if you're a member, you can just type in Kate Jones revision guide, and I removed all the branded logos so that any school can use it. You can download it, you can share it with your colleagues, share it with students, share it with parents. I have no problem with that. It's free. Go for it. So I hope students found it useful. Some students gave me some feedback, but then they later went on a trip, so I haven't got a chance to speak to everyone. And some colleagues gave me some really positive feedback as well. This is a topic that is so important, and I've spoke a lot about exams today, but learning how to learn is not just about exams. It might sound a cliche, but it is a lifelong skill. And this is something that I'm applying now as a teacher with my own professional learning. I'm learning about it all the time. I'm embracing this research. As I've said, it could be applied across subjects. Students can use it at A level and then at university and basically for the rest of their lives. So, and this presentation could be delivered to any year group. It could be delivered to primary school without the emphasis on exams, but you're still explaining about retrieval practice and about space practice and why they're so good. So hopefully you found my reflections on the assembly useful. And if you'd like any more information or if you have any questions, then please do get in touch. Okay, so I put it out there on social media. Do you have any suggested topics? Do you have any questions? Because this is a podcast where it's just me talking, so I want to try and involve as many people as possible. Now, for suggested topics, I had some really interested suggestions from LinkedIn. I mentioned him before, Jeremy Williams. He's a principal in the UAE. He suggested the topic of financial literacy, which is a really important topic. I don't feel confident in my knowledge of delivering that, but I'd certainly be keen to find out more, research it, even ask Jeremy some questions. A former colleague of mine, Phil Miller, he suggested lots of great topics, especially about the suggested pay change for teachers with an increase of starting at 30k a year and the implications for that. He suggested talking about international teaching, because Phil also taught internationally before he went back to the UK. He suggested talking about Brexit, but that's not going to happen on this podcast. And I had other suggestions on LinkedIn, which included talking about learning environments and about questioning, all really good topics that I'll definitely consider for future episodes. And in regards to questions, I've picked a few out. So the first question I'll read, and this is from Patrick, who I've never actually met, but we're Twitter friends. He's at History Chappie, and he's a teacher at a wonderful school in Bahrain. And he has a podcast as well, which is specifically for history, called Versus History. And I do listen to that a lot. So Patrick asked, what will be the main change or improvement or development that you will look to make in your new role? This is a great question. And before I joined the school, I had a vision for the role. And now I'm here, my vision has changed slightly, which is obvious because I'm learning more about the school and the department. And I remember in my interview, I had to deliver a presentation. And one of the points I said was, when I arrive, I want to look at what the department are doing well and how can we build on that. And I'll also look for the areas for improvement. And I think that's what every head of department does, not even when they're just starting a new job, but every year when we're reflecting. So some things that I am keen to focus on is Key Stage 3. This is something I've still been working on for many years, reflecting and tweaking. And as a school, we're changing exam boards at GCSE. So we're currently going through a transition with that. So there's a lot to keep us busy with all those changes. And the British School Archivira is known for its professional learning. And something that I've tried in the past, and I will admit I've failed to do, is promote a reading culture amongst my colleagues. And that's not to say that the colleagues I've previously worked with don't enjoy reading, because I know lots of teachers who do, but a reading culture, I think, is where teachers are reading not because they're told to, but because they want to and they want to learn. And teachers are recommending books to one another. They're talking about books. They're reviewing it. They're reflecting. And I think that I've come to a school where there is this reading culture. Well, I know there is, because I walk around different classrooms and I've seen books. I've seen David Dydow. I've seen the book about Michaela. I saw Daisy Christodoulou in an office. So that's really exciting for me, to be in an environment where there is this reading culture and professional learning is an absolute priority. So another question Patrick, there was lots of things there, lots of areas for development. Another question, this is from Larissa Faith on Instagram, and she asked me about my top tip for trainees. And I get these sorts of questions a lot. I have blogged about my advice for an NQT. I think the main thing is to seek support, okay? And that can be within your school, the university provider, or on Twitter, on social media. I never had that as a trainee, and I remember feeling quite isolated, really, and at times quite alone and unsure and embarrassed about asking questions in case it was an obvious answer that I should know. So just be aware of the support that is out there. I love trainees and NQTs getting in touch with me. I'm happy to offer advice, or if I can't answer a question, I tend to know someone who can, so I can point them in the right direction. So it is a tough year. It's an enjoyable year, but it's tough. But there is support there. There's also charities for teachers in regards to mental health. It may not be something that you need, but look for the support and don't be afraid to seek it out. Now, a colleague asked me, are you happy with your decision to join BSAC, to move to the British School Al-Kabira? And whilst I've only been teaching here for 3 weeks and I've been here about a month, I already know it was one of the best decisions of my life. And I mean that because I love living in Abu Dhabi. That's great. And I already just love the school. There's a great atmosphere. As I've talked about professional learning, I feel like I fit in really well. That all the colleagues are embracing. Like, say, for example, I sent some revision materials and they said, oh, yeah, that's great, Kate. Do you want to deliver assembly on that? And I said, yeah, absolutely, I'd love to. So I'm just working in this environment where we're all striving to get better, not necessarily because we're in a place where the pressure is on us, because British School Al-Kabira is outstanding, not just rated outstanding, but which it has been. It's won awards. It's regarded as one of the best schools in the Middle East. But despite those things and all the praise and recognition, everyone is still trying to become either a better teacher, improve things. And the reason for that being is for the students that we teach. It comes down to the students. So yeah, absolutely really happy with my decision to join BSAC. And then finally, I thought I'd stick this question in. This is a question from somebody I know who asked me, what's the weirdest thing you've seen in a staff room fridge? I can actually answer this because I saw a potato in a fridge once, and it wasn't a cooked potato that had been wrapped up in tinfoil, and it wasn't even a whole potato. It was like a chopped up, or like the size of a roast potato, an uncooked roast potato in a fridge. And I don't know why it was there. I don't know what someone was going to do with it. I never found out, but hopefully that answers your question. I saw a random potato in a staff room fridge once, and I think I'll leave it there. So thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode and found it useful. As I said, if you've got any questions, feel free to get in touch with me. Visit my website, lovetoteach87.com. I'm on Twitter at 87history, and I'm on Instagram at lovetoteach87. So I look forward to hearing from you.